You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. As temperatures start to cool down, there are few things as comforting as a slice of warm, home-baked bread.
Peter Reinhardt sees the act of baking bread as a transformational process. He'll be sharing the secrets of this process at Fermentation Fest, which starts this weekend in Reedsburg and runs through October 9th.
He joins us now on this Food Friday. He's an instructor at the International Baking and Pastry Institute at Johnson & Wales University, and he's the author of 10 books on baking, including The Bread Baker's Apprentice, the 15th anniversary edition. Peter, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Well, in a recent blog post, you share your thoughts on transformation. You actually think that bread baking is transformational. That's a pretty expansive word to use for something like bread baking. What's the case that bread baking is all that?
Well, I think it starts with my definition of transformation is a radical change from one thing into something else. And I think that if you look at the history of bread and the way bread has been used in culture, in religion, in society, as a symbol of so many things, including a symbol of life and essentially a symbol of humankind, you have to ask yourself, well, why? What is it about bread that allows it to become this powerful symbol and this universal symbol in every religion and every culture? And I started working it backwards and said, okay, why is this? And I realized that the very process, the 12 stages that it takes for wheat to become bread, requires a series of transformations from one thing, wheat growing in the field, to flour, which is the wheat that's been destroyed and made into powder, to another transformation into dough, which is brought back to life, and a final transformation of dough into bread, in which all of these ingredients kind of come together and make something so radically different than what it started out to be that if you think about it, it's a perfect symbol of transformation. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's a symbol of the journey of our own lives.
And in that same post, you said, hey, we're going through some troublesome times now, a lot of bad news out there, a tough political election, but maybe by making bread, baking bread, breaking bread together, we could transform our society maybe into something a little better.
Well, of course, we all can do the little things that are in front of us, the opportunities that face us. But I think that historically, life's been hard and rough, forever, and people struggle and suffer. But one of the things that life has given us is the opportunity to celebrate it. And I think throughout the year, there are festivals, there are events that allow us to put aside the troubles that we face and celebrate this deeper thing that each of us believes in our core, and that is that ultimately life is good, God is good, and we want to be able to celebrate that, even though life is also very hard. And we're right at the beginning today yesterday was the official harvest festival in the Judeo-Christian tradition called Michaelmas, which is the celebration of the harvest. And tomorrow the Firmfest kicks off, which is another celebration. And I basically said, let's take this opportunity to once again celebrate the things and affirm the things that we know to be true, that are deeper than the troubles and problems that we face on a daily basis.
I started bread baking after a long time last winter because it was dark and it was gloomy, and every day for a month before Downton Abbey, I would bake a loaf of bread. And it was pretty amazing. I felt really good. Do you think there is something about getting over that hurdle of thinking that this is this really hard thing and discovering when people try it that it does have this sort of comforting, sort of feel-good factor?
Yeah, I think there is the participation in any process, whether it's bread making, woodworking, carpentry, any kind of a craft, so to speak. There is a joy that comes from just participating in it and turning one thing into something else. And bread baking is one of the easier crafts that people can participate. Everybody can do it, and it's not that hard. Some people are intimidated by yeast, but it doesn't take long to get them over that. And I think that one of the reasons why bread books have become so popular in the last 10, 15 years is because they serve as guidebooks to help people overcome some of those fears and concerns. And for those who deeply get into it as a hobby or as some kind of a family practice, they find that every time they do it, it gives them joy. I've even heard that real estate agents believe that the smell of freshly baked bread in the oven can be an inducement. If you put your house up for sale and you walk somebody through it, you've got a better chance of closing the deal.
We're talking to Peter Reinhardt on this Food Friday, author of The Bread Baker's Apprentice. He's coming to Fermentation Fest in the Reedsburg area. He's inspiring us to bake bread, and not just bread, Peter. You say maybe someone like me, I am in that camp that's a little intimidated by bread baking. If I take it in stages, I can not just make bread at home. I can make really good bread. What is it? What are the steps to going from, you know, those first breads, the experiments that might go wrong, to making fantastic bread at home?
In the last few years, there's been an awakening in America to the possibilities of how good bread really can be. Many people thought you had to go all the way to Europe, to France, or to Germany to get good bread. And that was true to a certain extent. We had average bread here. But all of a sudden, people have learned some of these techniques. And so the home bakers want to know, okay, how can I make a loaf of bread in my home oven that's comparable to some of the breads that I'm getting from these new artisan bakeries? And it turns out that the same techniques that are available to the artisan bakers are available to home bakers. It's just understanding the relationship of time and temperature and the ingredients themselves and learning how to work with them. So one of the tricks that has probably raised the dial on everybody's baking at home is understanding that longer, slower fermentation generally produces a better tasting loaf of bread. And the old cookbooks that we had back in the 50s and 60s were all about making bread fast, getting something done, mix it, let it rise for an hour, shape it, let it rise and bake it. And it makes okay bread. And if you add sugar and butter to it, of course, it makes it taste fine. But if you want to try to make a great baguette or a ciabatta or one of these breads that are becoming so popular today, where the main ingredient is flour, it's all about the wheat, then how do you get and coax the full flavor, the potential of flavor that's trapped in that wheat? How do you bring it out? And that's where the artisan techniques come in. And there, it turns out that everybody can do them and everybody is doing them. We've got this growing movement of home bakers. And I'd say most of the people that buy these bread books are home bakers, not professional bakers, because they want to be able to do the same thing that the professionals do.
And Peter, where do we start if we want to learn some of those artisan tools and do what the great bread bakers do? What's the first starting block for us?
One thing that people can do if they have access to it is to go to some classes that may be taught at a local cooking school. Some of the cooking stores even have cooking classes. There's a lot of great instructional videos available. I did a video course with a group called Craftsy, craftsy.com, that I've done three videos with them, and their classes, they cost actually less than a cookbook, and you can stream the instructional videos into your home, so it's like having a teacher right there. And I've got, for instance, my artisan bread course has over 25,000 people have signed up for that. I even did a pizza course, which is offered for free through Craftsy, and we have about 800,000 people have signed up for that, and they're making pizza. So that's one way. But I think the simplest way is to find a bread book that you like. There's many great ones out there. I've written a number, but there's certainly other authors that have done good bread books. And find a recipe, a bread that you want to make, and start with one bread. And if you can master one bread, then you could pretty much master them all over time. But start with one, do it at least three times, because by the third time, you'll have figured out all the tweaks that you need to make, how your oven works, whether it's a little high, a little low, how to find the right color, how to know when it's done. And all these, it's a very fast learning curve. It really starts there.
You've shared a really cool sounding recipe for bread called struwen, I think it's pronounced. Can you tell us about this struwen bread?
Yes, that's my all-time favorite bread, and I think I've written about it in at least half of the books that I've done. Struwen is a bread that's associated with Michaelmas, this harvest festival that we were discussing earlier. It actually was a bread, the celebratory bread done by the people of Western Scotland back in the 16, 17, 1800s. I think it pretty much it fell off the map around the 19th, 20th century as the farming communities were sort of subsumed by the cities. But it really was a bread about the harvest. It in my version, and there was no recipe. I had to kind of create my own after reading about this bread in folklore, meant all the grains or whatever was ready to be harvested on September 28th, the eve of the feast, would be gathered by the men and their sons, and they'd be brought home where the women and daughters would stay up all night making loaves of bread. They had all the pressure on them because the thought was that if your bread fell, then you would have a year of bad luck. So the women had a lot more pressure on them than the men, as usual. And then in the morning, the freshly baked loaves would be brought to an early morning mass where the priest would bless them and consecrate them to loved ones who had passed away in the previous year. And then there would be a procession through the town, and the loaves would be given to the poor. And it was that sort of ritual and celebratory pattern that they have that's what grabbed my attention. And since there was no existing recipe anywhere, I just started from the spirit of the thing, a harvest bread. And over a number of years, I kept working on it till I found one that kind of the right combination of ingredients. And there's about 12 ingredients in my version. I used to make it in the bakery that my wife and I had in California. And after we sold the bakery, the people that bought it continued to make that bread. That particular bread was the most popular bread we made. Probably makes the best toast of any bread I've ever tasted. I think it's the perfect toasting bread, which is perfect for the sort of a new emergence of toast cafes that are happening all over the United States. So it's, believe it or not, it's coming back, even though we're many years away from having that bakery. And the recipe's been out there for a long time. I just read that La Brea Breads, which is one of the largest producers of artisan breads in the United States, is bringing out their own version of Struan. And I don't know when it's going to hit the shelves and where you can get it, but it's coming out because I read about it on their website. And they even told a little bit of the story about this idea of harvesting the grains.
That sounds amazing, Peter. I want to ask you just briefly as we wrap up. Well, first of all, I want to say that recipe is available on the Central Time Facebook page. But what does it taste like?
It's slightly sweet because we add a little honey and a little bit of brown sugar to it, and it's moist in the center. And the reason it makes such good toast is that if you slice a nice thick piece, maybe about a half to two-thirds of an inch thick, and make toast out of it, the outside gets this wonderful caramelization that you expect from good toast, but the inside stays very moist. One of the secret ingredients in the dough is some cooked brown rice, a small amount of cooked grain that helps to hold the moisture in. So you get this great contrast of crackly, almost toffee-like surface and a very creamy, almost custard-like center. Those combinations in your mouth, you put a little fresh butter on that, some local jam, and you've got yourself a full meal. And believe it or not, my wife and I existed on two pieces of Struan toast every morning and a glass of orange juice while we had our cafe, and that was how we started the day. And I think that's one of the reasons why this particular bread has such deep meaning for me. I feel connected to this bread in a way that I don't feel about any other bread. If bread is a metaphor of life, then I'd say this bread is the metaphor of me.
Well, you really sold me. I'm going to try it. And it's up on the Central Time Facebook page. It sounds delicious. Peter, thank you so much for joining us and talking today.
It's a pleasure being with you, and I can't wait to get to Firmfest and see everybody.
Great. Well, that was Peter Reinhardt, a baker and educator. He's also the author of The Bread Baker's Apprentice. Its 15th anniversary edition was just published.
And as you just mentioned, he will be at Fermentation Fest. That starts this weekend in Reedsburg, runs through October 9th. Get more info and find the schedule at fermentationfest.com.